You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
What's good, man? Peanut, bro, I'm a huge fan, dog. I ain't never really got to kick it with you, dog, but good to meet you, man.
You too, boss. You too.
Huge fan. Roman, what's up, bro? You know how I feel about you, dog. I love you, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man. You know you my guy, so.
When they told me it was y'all, I said, hell yeah. Let's make it happen.
Hey, y'all, what's going on? I'm Peanut Tillman, and I got my guy with me, as always, Roman the Deacon Harper. Harper, what's going on? Tell him. What's up,
man? You know what, man? I appreciate that. It was a short intro. You didn't give me three or four different nicknames. I would take Deacon, being from Alabama. That is like the highest of compliments growing up in the Baptist church, was to be called Brother a Deacon Roman Harper. So
yeah,
I appreciate
Baptist
that
churches,
first and
y'all
foremost.
Y'all be in church about 3-4 hours on Sundays.
Hey, every Sunday. South. Every Sunday, you know what I'm saying? Every Sunday. At least my church wasn't the one where everybody was just running. Everybody had the Holy Ghost running around. So at least when somebody
Shabbat got an old sky.
You believed it because it was like
speaking,
one every, you know, every
speaking
couple
that
Sundays.
Tongue.
It was good.
Shabbat an old sky. Amen. Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. So we got my man today. We got a special guest, my man D'Angelo Hall. For all those that don't know, we all just call him D Hall or just D. He is a great friend of mine. I've got to know him through the past couple golf tournaments. He's got a pretty decent golf swing, but it's more about all the fun and the giggles we have when we get together. His second acts include being a commentator on different networks, doing radio play-by-play for the Washington Commanders, and he's currently an analyst with the NFL Network, a 14-year NFL vet. First round pick, 8th overall. I believe he was the first DB in 2004 taken. A 3-time Pro Bowler and once picked off Jay Cutler 4 times in one game in the Bears of 2010. I remember that one. It almost reminded me the same time when we went to the Pro Bowl and I actually played beside this guy. And I literally walked away saying, this is the most athletic, best DB I've ever seen in my life. The guy's feet are amazing. His ball skills are amazing. And he can run. It's just all about, does he actually really want to play today? I think he did want to play that day. And when he did, you saw what you got. D-Hall, what's up, baby? How you doing?
What's going on, fellas? I'm doing great, man. Hey, I appreciate that intro. It was a damn good one, man. But I'm just honored to be in the presence of greatness myself, man. Peanut, like I mentioned earlier, huge fan of yours, man. I can't wait to hell. I'm trying to pick your brain. I might turn this interview into an interview about you, but absolutely excited to be on this show. You two, Rome, man. Love y'all dudes, man. So huge fan of my DBs. So can't wait to get it on.
I always like when we have a DB on the show because it's a lot easier to do just because we play the same position. But what I really want to say is I remember that the game with Cutler, and I think we were just sitting there like, why in the hell is this dude still throwing the ball to D Hall? Okay, I get the first one, like, yeah, it was a bad throw. That was on me. I'm a make up for it. The second one, maybe it was a receiver. The third one, okay, he kind of hot right now. The fourth one, it was just, to me, the fourth, that was his pride and ego.
He's that was a gift, too, that
going
fourth
to the
one.
Damn ball. Oh, my God.
He just threw it up. I'm playing.
D'Angelo, explain to me. All right, D, tell me kind of like breakdown each one. What were you guys maybe in? Give me a quick little synopsis of it.
Let me first give y'all a little background. So I played Jay Cutler probably 2 years prior to that when I was in Oakland, right? That half a year I played in Oakland. he was in Denver. One of his top receivers was Eddie Royal, V-Tech guy. I didn't play at Tech with Eddie, but I knew all about Eddie. I knew Eddie was a really good receiver. But because we're Oakland, all we played was man. So Mike Shanahan got us, you know, running all over the place. Like, he's got all type of motions, and like, we're in straight man. So I'm yo-yo motion. I'm running back and forth. And so they killing us. Eddie probably had, I don't know, 8-9 catches. So I'm sure Jay Cutler probably like, ooh, D Hall coming to Chicago. I lit him up when I was with Denver. Right. So he just kept coming to the well. First one, I'm on Devin Hester. Devin runs like a little curl route. I'm in like a man coverage. But Devin being new to the receiver position, he just didn't come back to the ball. So I was able to kind of beat him out his break. He was sitting there waiting on the curl, and I turned it to the receiver, came back, ended up having a diving interception for number one. I want to say number two was a slant route. We in literally two man. I got Johnny Knox, the inside cut off. Johnny Knox almost like doesn't even fight me to run the slant. He just kind of like, all right, you cut me off. Jay throws it right in my hand. The third one's like a blitz. He throws out to the flats, get it with one hand, and, you know, take it to the house. And the fourth one, literally cover three, end of the game. He just throw that joint up. I'm 2 yards ahead of the receiver, just bailing. Get the fourth one. And I'm like, man, this is easy. Finish the season with five. So that goes to tell you, didn't get many more.
The funny thing about that is I remember being on the sideline and everyone on defense was like, he made the Pro Bowl off this game right here.
Yeah.
He going to Pro Bowl off this game right here. Like, it's a wrap. He got one of the three corner spots already is gone. So just, damn, now I got to work. And I had two forced fumbles that game. I thought I was having a good damn game. Hey,
I tell people, and I was we were battling that team. Like, I think Pep ran one back. You caused a couple fumbles. I think Urlacher might have had a pick. Man, and the score was like 15-13. Like, it was crazy to have four picks. They Chicago, y'all had a bunch of turnovers too on us. We had Donovan McNabb. Like, it was a who's who of guys. Albert Haynesworth. I mean, it was literally a bunch of dudes on that field, man. But we just could not muster any real offense, man. But it was a hell of a game, man. And Soldier Field is such an iconic stadium, man. To do it there, man, it was an amazing feeling. Man, I ain't never been in the zone on a basketball court dropping 50, 60. But I would imagine that's what it would feel like.
And so, D'Angelo, the best thing about it is literally what Peanut was thinking on the sidelines, like, man, this guy's going to a Pro Bowl. Literally the rest of the league voted you in, and it was true. Because I was sitting at the house, we watched the highlights, and I'm like, this dude got four picks? We all came back to our meeting room on that Monday and Tuesday. It was like, this dude going to the Pro Bowl, dog. He in the Pro Bowl off one
off
game.
Off top. One game.
Off top. But one guy is already in. Don't even worry about it. He's locked up. And it's true. And so that same year, you end up going to the Pro Bowl, and I was actually your teammate. So it was my first time getting to meet you. I met quite a few of the other Atlanta, your former teammates, Atlanta guys there too as well. And so we're all there. Everybody's hanging out. And this is the first time. So I was supposed to be getting paid pretty soon. I was the youngest DB there. It was like Adrian Wilson.
But you look the oldest, though.
The best thing is that everybody's there and we start remixing coverages. They're like, all right, you can only run so many coverages in the Pro Bowl. And Adrian Wilson and who else is the other safety? I think Antrell Rowe. They all were like, you know, we're going to start doing something else. So, dude, literally this guy D'Angelo just was sitting on everything and like had another like three picks or something, like something crazy, right? Like another game he was in the zone. And I literally walked away like, this is the most talented guy I've ever seen in my life. He was like, hardly working a little bit. It's Pro Bowl, so you're not going too hard. But it's just like, this guy's ball skills are immaculate. And so I just wanted to share with that. And what was it like that day as well? Because you were also in the zone. You celebrated. You got the MVP. You got all your family, your kids. Everybody was there. It was all, I was kind of envious, kind of jealous.
I did. You know, I always, ever since my rookie year, right, when I was – wanted to make the Pro Bowl, and I kind of had it in my head, right? It was such a big deal when we were playing. It was such a huge honor. Everybody said, man, I can't wait to go across the water, right? And that was the thing to try to get to the Pro Bowl. It was kind of the measuring stick. It was such an honor for me to go. I had to make sure I included everybody who kind of helped me along the way. And so, yeah, I always kind of had bought a crew, and I just remember thinking, man, if they throw this rock, I'm going to have a chance. And I remember telling everybody all week, like, bro, I'm going to try to go get this MVP. Like, they throwing it in the air, like, I'm gonna try to get some picks. And, yeah, they ran a, like a deep post, and I was able to stay on top. Like you talked about the ball skills, man, that was something. Even now watching football, man, and watching DBs not play the ball is so frustrating being a dude who played the ball in the air because – like a lot of them silly penalties is just a comfort thing, right? You're in perfect position. Just get your hand around. Or I see a guy go put one hand out and knock it down when you very easily could have put two and intercepted it, man. I was always taught at a young age, man, get the football. Like it's value in getting the football. And so, yeah, that Pro Bowl, man, I just remember even when I tackle people, right, I had Wes Welker on the sideline, and I went to form tackling him, and I'm like, oh, my God, I feel that football. And then, you know, got the, you know, this little strip, got the football out. And I teach my kids that, man, like, they tackle the football. Like, you know, I'm not trying to tackle you. I'm trying to tackle the football. And it's something I've always done, man, since I mean, I got videos in high school, middle school, stripping the ball on, like, form tackles, man. And so – I just have always valued that football, man. And I don't know if it was because I started out as an offensive guy that just so happened to want to play defense. A lot of people think because we're DBs, we can't catch or something's wrong. I'm like, no, I just like hitting people versus getting hit. And so to me, it was easy. I'm going to play offense when I get the ball. When I intercept it, I can turn into an offensive guy. But I'd rather do the hitting than get hit. And so – yeah, it was, to me, it was just always about getting the football. Sometimes it got me in a little bit of trouble, but it wasn't until I got with coaches who understood, like, man, this is a dude who wants to get the football. If I can put some plays in that allows him, that's why we started running some trap with Rodney. Yep. If we can run some plays that allows him to be greedy, maybe he won't be greedy in other coverages. And I mean, it was a match made in heaven between me and Raheem Morris, because he understood what it was like to have a guy who wanted to get the football. And so he didn't mind giving me some coffee, but we say, like, coach, I need a break. And he knew that meant, all right, let me run something to let you turn into the playmaker versus having to protect from the deep ball or any other thing. So it was just, like you talked about, man, it was just being in the zone, man. And like you said, them Pro Bowls, man, everybody out there kind of half-assing it sometimes. And so I wanted to go out there and try to make a statement.
Funny thing, you said something about going to get the ball. You tackle the football. Gilbert, San Diego Chargers Ring of Honor, he was my DB coach in Chicago. And he used to always say, I mean, I ain't got a football, but he was like, yo, it's about the football. This thing right here, it's worth millions. And if you go out there and you can get it back, you will get millions of dollars. It's about this football right here. He's like, when that ball is in the air, it's anybody's. But my mindset is, that's my damn ball. I'm going to get it. When the ball is in the air, I become the receiver. That mindset is kind of what transcended, in my opinion, like our defense. That's kind of how we operate. It was like, yo, go get the ball back. Go get the ball back for our offense. And you were talking about teaching your kids how to do that, how to play that. You sound like a coach. I know that's something that you've been passionate about and some things that you want to do. Where did coaching come into play?
I mean, I just think we as former players, man, like we have such a wealth of knowledge, right? And I've had coaches who could coach the game, but it just always felt different coming from a guy who had actually done it. And then the communication, right? We've all been in DB rooms where a coach might say something, right? And you got guys in the room who like, huh? Like, coach, well, and then maybe you as the leader, you'll see the same thing the coach says and you can comprehend it, but you just have a way of just simplifying it, right? Putting it in layman terms, mm-hmm. putting it in terms that they can understand, right? Instead of passing, all right, well, guys, well, check this out, guys. If we got strong side over here, and this, you know, it's just an easier way to communicate it. And so for me, I've always just, I don't know, man. I feel like I've always had a way with words. I've mm-hmm. always been able to communicate. And so for me, toward the back end of my career, right, I played 14 years. The last four, I probably played maybe 10 games the last 4 years. And so a lot of it was IR, right? Year 11, I tore my Achilles. Year 12, I had a turf toe that I missed like 8 games. Year 13, I had a ACL. So year 14, I was just trying to not have a surgery and finish the season healthy. Mm-hmm. And so like from year 11 to 14, a lot of that was spent essentially coaching, pouring into a lot of these young guys. And it was there that I really felt like, man, like I got a real talent for this. Mm-hmm. Just the business in general, right? Especially the National Football League, it's so hard because as players, we were always taught, man, Peanut, if you're good, they're going to see you. You're going to get noticed. In high school, you're going to get a scholarship. Yeah. In college, you're going to get into the league. In the league, you're going to get a Pro Bowl. You're going to get all pros. You're going to get contracts and get your money, you know, and get paid.
Right.
Coaching, for some reason, it just – the best doesn't always get the job, right? And so it's kind of weird, and it's definitely frustrating when you're a former athlete who has always been taught, let your work speak for itself. Mm-hmm. And so I've kind of geared away from actually wanting to coach in the league because I've seen so much of the nepotism. I've actually, you know, enjoyed being on TV so much because now I feel like I have to advocate for some of those coaches, right? And I'm loving having my voice. I'm loving the platform. I'm understanding the way to use it a little bit more as I continue in it. And hell, man, I apologize to numerous black coaches that I played for just because I didn't know that the grind and the struggle was that real.
You
know
I didn't I mean? Either. Like, I didn't
as
either.
A player, like, we don't really think about that as players, right? We don't really think about who's coaching us or the guy who should have got the job. We just like, all right, this our coach. Even if he don't know what he's doing, we try to find a way to make the best of it, right?
But you know the best thing about that, though, is those black coaches, in my opinion, what I admire about all those black coaches – they never complain to us.
Exactly. You never
they just
knew.
Shut up and they just grind and they got through it.
Yeah.
You know, and I it doesn't make it right, but I appreciate them not complaining and going through that process to make me a better player because the majority of my coaches in the league were black.
Yeah.
You know.
And not only that, but I think, you know, and I learned this from Aaron Glenn, not only as a former teammate of mine, but then as later on in my career as my DB coach before now being a DC at Detroit, was that not only does he have to do just as much, but you got to do more.
You got to do twice as much just to get half.
Yeah. And so, well, that's his mindset. And so to be able to go out there and like he was saying, yeah, he's just like you, former great player, first round pick, got all these great accolades, but still when you get in that coaching room, they still look at you as like, oh, is he just a player? Because I think sometimes coaches that don't play look at players, coaches that do that did play, and look at them with a kind of a side eye or
like, what is that tension? Maybe because you've been in that room a little
hey,
bit.
They do.
What is that? Because I do. Think that and, is a thing.
They do, guys. And I'm not going to throw any coaches under the bus, but when I first retired, man, I actually interviewed to be the DB coach for Washington at one point.
Yes.
And I had already kind of wrapped my head around, man, I want to coach, right? I had interviewed for the University of Maryland when Loxley had got the job, and he offered me the job right there on the spot. And a couple days later, I found out, well, probably one day later, I found out, man, Washington's going to probably fire their DB coach. They were looking for a DB coach. So I'm like, man, so I hit Loxley up like, coach, I can't 100% tell you yes or no. I got to take this opportunity. And he was 100% cool with it. He said, I couldn't wait all day. You know, I feel like our job is the best, you know, da, 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 da. What are you supposed to say? And I'm in this interview and I had other coaches, you know, along the way who's coached me, kind of helped prep me for it. And I mean, I was on, man. Like, I got a PowerPoint. I'm going.
Yeah, I was wondering, are you showing like coverages? What do you like?
Oh, yes, sir. Like, I'm showing coverages. I'm showing what my philosophy is, right? How I value getting the football, how I value putting you in position to get the football, the technique, da 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 da. I'm rolling through all the coordinators, and I really was like, wow, like I've been around some really dope dudes, some really, you know, coaches that are well respected in this league. Mm-hmm. And I get in there and I'm, you know, and I'm blah, 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 and I'm killing it. And I leave and they're like, and the coaches are like, wow, like we're impressed. And the head coach and the DC was in the meeting. And later on, I find out I was so close to getting the job, but I end up not getting it, right. And the reason is because the coordinator came in and kind of told the head coach, like, you know, this might be my last time being a coordinator, and I really don't want a first year DB coach. And this was a former player. And one of his questions to me was, man, are you really ready to commit to this? And I'm thinking like, well, what makes you think if I was a great player and I committed to being a great player, like it's the same type of commitment, right? Like I'm gonna commit to putting my players in position to make, like being a great coach as well. I'm gonna put tenfold that effort. But I also had a question in the back of my head, like, and I wanted to say this, but I didn't because I wanted to be respectful. But I was like, so what makes you think you could do it as a former player who wasn't a really good player, but you could do it. But what makes you think I can't do it? Instead of being a former player saying, hell yeah, bro, that's what I had the same mindset and bringing you along. Mm-hmm. But they don't do that. They don't bring you along. You know what I mean? They almost see you as competition. And unfortunately, man, it ain't a lot of these jobs. And so I kind of understand it, but I was never of that mindset, right? When a young dude came in, I'm pouring everything into him because I want you at your best to try to take my job. Because if I don't earn this spot, somebody's gonna take it. Whether I tell you nothing and try to sandbag you, and then the next year somebody take my spot, or I look bad and they bring in a free agent. So it was always my mindset, let me pour everything I can into you as a young guy, because I want you knowing what I know, right? Because I know I'm not gonna play this game forever, but I also want you at your best when I win the job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I've always wanted smarter guys than myself on staffs in rooms. Like I was always that guy. Man, we can get Keith. Man, go get Keith. That's going to make my job easier. Or we could go get this guy. I always wanted to play, you know, with other great players because I just always felt like they would make me better. You know what I mean? The more players we got, the easier it will to win a game.
That's the good thing about Coach Rivera. You know, when Rome and I were in, I had the honor and privilege of being coached by him when I was in Chicago, when he was there. We went to a Super Bowl, and then when I was in Carolina. Actually, the two Super Bowls I've been to have been with Coach Rivera. He has been my good luck charm to get me to a Super Bowl. But his whole coaching philosophy is I need to bring my coaches up. My goal as a head coach is to coach my coaches and help my coaches become head coaches. I want my coaches to be head coaches with me. And you would see him let the youngest guy, the most rookie guy on the staff, get in front of the team and have a 10-minute conversation with the team. And it was the coolest. It was the coolest thing. And I really liked how he would lead. And because I think he was always say, you never want to you never want your first opportunity to have the room when you get it for your first job. You want to be able to do it as like an intern or a graduate assistant. Like, you want to have all that experience going into becoming a DB coach. So by the time you become a DB coach, it's like, I already know how to do a room. I've already had a room before, you know. So with all that being said, all the work that you have to do, all these little side jobs and, you know, starting at the bottom, working your way back to the top, D-Hall, how do you feel about Jeff Saturday being the head coach? Just kind of skipping all that and going right to the top. And no disrespect to Jeff Saturday. I don't think he's a bad person or anything. You know, this is not a knock on Jeff. It ain't nothing. It's not relevant at all.
Absolutely. And look, I know Jeff personally. Love Jeff personally. Like, that's my dude. Like, I hit him up when he got the job. I've talked to Jeff prior to that about a lot of things. When I was living in Georgia before I moved to Virginia full time, Jeff was 30 minutes from me. And so, like, I got a great relationship with Jeff. And I'm 100% so hype that a dude who had no coaching experience as a former player could stand on that shield and say, yeah, like, this is what I do. Like, when people ask me, like, can a guy, I'm like, hell yeah, a guy can do that. Now, what sucks is that a black, and I hate to say this, but a black player would never get that chance. The same way I love John Lynch. I could call John Lynch right now and get John on the phone. John has asked me to come out and be a part of the 49ers front office, because at one point I had aspirations of being in the front office, right? But for him to come from the booth and get that opportunity, like, the black former player just don't get that opportunity, man. And it sucks. And so I'm hyped for Jeff. And I think he'll do great, because at the end of the day, them players want a dude who's been through the fire. Like, they want a leader. And that's what people don't understand. Like, as a head coach, yeah, I got to know X's and O's and I got to know game plans and all this, but I'm a CEO, man. Like, I got to be able to manage relationships. I have to be able to communicate. I have to be able to lead men. And Jeff's a hell of a leader. There's a lot of former players that are great leaders. Like, I think about the NBA. And I look at all the guys who are helping build rosters in the NBA. All these former players that are GMs, presidents, and head coaches with no experience. Man, I've been in that locker room for 15 years, man. I know what it's supposed to look like. I know what a guy who really wants to work at his craft, I know what it looks like. I also know what it looks like when a guy kind of just want to give you that lip service. Yeah, coach, I'm going to do this. Your film doesn't show me that you care about the game like you're telling me you care about the game. And so I just feel like we look at things with a different lens, right? Like, when I'm looking at a player, I'm looking at scheme. I'm looking at, you know, what does he do well? I'm looking at, can I put him in position to be successful? Because we all know, if I can put you in position to be successful, you're going to be confident. And when you got confidence, man, as a player, it ain't nothing you feel like you can't do. And so there's a lot of these little things that I feel like pencil pushers just don't really comprehend. And I know I'm kind of off subject, but
no. You're speaking mine, bro.
But Jeff got that opportunity because of his relationship. And because of no black ownership, it's hard to have a genuine relationship from a guy who can really 100% relate to you. And the best way I can describe it is, when I was doing a lot of front office, like, training and stuff, I was talking to a lot of former GMs and presidents, and they were just, you know, they were telling me, like when you're in there talking to the owner, like, the owner don't really know football. So he ain't, like, he's not trying to be wooed by X's and O's. Like, he's been wooed by his life experiences and his conversational skills. And so I'm going to throw Arthur Smith's name in the bank, because in the bucket, because I know Arthur Smith. He's the Falcons coach. He was a low level, like, QC when I first got to Washington in 2008. And I didn't know who Arthur Smith was. I didn't know him from the man on the moon. And somebody was like, oh, you know his daddy owned FedEx. I say, for real? Yeah, his daddy, Fred Smith, like, literally owns FedEx and is a part of Washington's ownership group. That's how he got a job. I'm like, for real? Yeah. So His dad's a billionaire who has been trying to buy a team for years and possibly still might, right? They're based out of Nashville. And so for Arthur Smith to go in there and talk to Arthur Blank, it's a different conversation when he's interviewing, right?
Right.
So Arthur probably knows his dad in some circles, but it's a different conversation that those guys are having versus, say, Eric Bieniemy, who goes in to have a conversation with an owner. You know what I mean? And so it's so many life experiences that just we can't fully relate to. It's almost like, where'd you grow up at, right? And it's your background. And all those things kind of come into the equation. It's not just football. It's who that owner really feels the most comfortable with. And whether he admits it or not, any owner, whether they admit it or not, they're comfortable with who they're comfortable with, who they're around the most.
No doubt.
Fortunately, it's not us.
And now, D'Angelo,
if you have some of us in that room, it ain't going to change.
Now, all that being said, and like I would agree with you 3,000%, because most people probably are used to, you know, certain power structures in their own life or their own life experiences. So what they see or what they grow up with are kind of like what they're used to. And it's been successful for them. These are not just like middle of the road people we're referring to. So with all that, what you talked about the front office role. So where would you see yourself in a front office role when you did envision yourself there? Like, what was that looking like? Because I thought I wanted to be a GM at some point.
Like, yeah, I mean, helping build rosters. My first year being retired, man, I actually interned in Washington's front office. So I got to go to the combine. I got to break down the DBs. And it was the year Jahir Alexander came out, Denzel Ward.
Who'd you like more, Jahir Alexander or Denzel Ward?
I mean, they both were studs. Now, a lot of people didn't know Jahir. And so my DB coach was his coordinator at Louisville. And so I had an inside.
Crazy how small football gets. It's crazy.
I know. Denzel Ward actually played at Bama, Whammy. And so coached me at Virginia Tech. And so I kind of had an inside track on how this kid's makeup was, like what drove him, right? That competitiveness, that edge that you have to have. And I kind of had that same inclination when you talk about J.C. Horn, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely love Pat Surtain. Love him to death. Technician, great corner. It was just something about J.C. game that I just always put J.C. ahead of Surtain for the simple fact I felt like he was more the kind of player that I would like on my team. Not saying Surtain wasn't better, and I still think probably Surtain's better for sure. But it was something about that dog mentality that he told me, man, he just always wanted to compete, D-Hall, no matter what. And I'm like that's the same thing they told me about Jahir, right? He just always wanted to compete. Denzel was better, smoother, faster, a lot of these other things, probably more polished. But it was something about Jahir Alexander that just – when I watched him on film, it resonated with me. And it was the same thing about J.C. Horn. And I say all that to say, as a front office guy, because we've been in those situations on a field watching guys come in, young guys come in, it's crazy because we can see it in guys. We can see the little things, the little nuances that a guy might do that the untrained scout, he don't know what the hell he really looking at. Like, he's looking at a list that tells him need to be this tall, he need to run this fast, this 40. Okay, he's so-and-so. He's so-and-so because his size and weight and height? No, his game ain't so-and-so. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's just, it was always building rosters, man. And it was building rosters with the mindset of not only athletically, how do you fit in my scheme, but personality-wise. How many guys have come in your locker room personality-wise that great player, but just didn't fit? Right, we had an Albert Haynesworth at one point. Dog, great player, but he was never gonna work with Mike Shanahan, and so it just threw off the whole vibe of the
locker room.
You know, it threw the whole vibe of the locker room, and so there's a lot of those things when you talk about trying to build a roster that I don't think the average person really takes into consideration. They just think, we're playing Madden, just plug him in and he can do it all. He's a 95 overall. He's a great player. We're going to plug him in. He's a zone corner. We play man. Probably not going to work for him. You know what I mean? Like Josh Norman. Yeah. We needed him to do stuff a little different than how we do things. Coach, we can make him a great player. We just got to put him in position to make them plays. Put him in man and tell him get out and break with cats. Ain't really what he going to be great at. No. And so you just got to find your niche, right? Put a guy in position to be successful, and he'll be an all pro for you.
I mean, I did a little bit of broadcasting, talking on TV, and it was cool. It was fun. And people always ask me, oh, why don't you get into coaching? You'd be a great coach. And I think I'd be decent at it at best. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. I know what to look for. As you were saying, like, we see things through our football lens. We don't just watch games like, oh, yeah, he caught the ball. Cool. Like, I'm looking at, oh, quarterbacks outside the pocket. Okay, he's 12 yards on the field. I can push my receiver down. I'm looking at all these little things. Which one are you more passionate about, broadcasting or being a coach?
That's a great question. Challenging question. I know.
And I'm struggling with this because my wife always gets on me, right? Because every time I'm watching a game on TV, I'm coaching, right? I'm coaching my kids. I'm just coaching what was wrong. Hey, you should just coach. And I'm like, you're right. I love my free time too much at this point in my life. Like, they missed that bandwagon, right? When they didn't let me in when they did and I was ready to commit.
Yeah.
And so now I feel like I can't coach now, right? I got little ones that I'm enjoying pouring into them. I enjoy my free time. I enjoy golfing, trying to golf and be a good golfer.
I was hearing that.
My head ain't even wrapped on 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Like,
that's a grind. I don't think people realize that. Yeah. They don't realize the grind that coaches
the grind
put into
the
it. That's why I don't want to do it. It's too much now. Y'all work 12-hour days.
They work 12-hour days, Peanut and D-Hall, to get like one steal of a play. Like 12 hours to set up a player for one play. And don't let them mess it up because they're going to let you know.
It ain't for me. Fight one of these players they mess it up after I done got there and spent all that time trying to help you make a play.
One play.
It ain't for me. It ain't for
man,
me.
I'm screaming on 11-year-olds, 5th and 6th graders out here playing. I'm the coordinator, D-coordinator. I'm screaming on everybody because if I done told you how to make that play, dog, and you ain't make, like, come on, man. You know what I mean? Like, but I got a high standard, man.
Yes.
And so, like, even, like, my kids watching film, they making plays. Like, my 11-year-old made a play on a screen pass, and I remember showing it to him on film. And on the field, after he makes the play, he's like, the brain, I saw it on film. And I'm like, that's this dude's in the league can't comprehend seeing it on film and taking it to the game. And so it's fun, man. Like, I'm having so much fun coaching them. I never really got nervous because I always knew what to expect out of myself. I get nervous watching them. Like, it's way more exciting watching them make a play than any play I ever made. So
my daughter has her first game tonight. She's on the varsity. My oldest, she's about 6 feet tall. She a tall one.
She hooping? Yeah,
she a hooper. And she got her first game tonight. And you are 1,000% right. When your kids are playing and they're doing things and they're making plays, it doesn't even compare to what you did when you made a play and you got 80,000, 90,000 people screaming your name. It's me, a couple of other parents in the gym, and I am just like, I am on 10. So excited for my kids. It's one of the coolest things. So we're gonna pay some bills. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about my calls, my cleat, and what you have yours for.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is over. The Chi is back on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/TheShot to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
When you were playing, you had a couple of things going on, right? You were involved with some charities, I should say. And now being retired, out of the game, broadcaster, Pop Warner Coach of the Year. What is your My Calls My Cleat campaign? God, I cannot say that word.
I know it's a tongue twister. Well, you know, My Calls My Cleat has been something that I've been a part of for a long time, and I've always supported the MS Society. Okay. Multiple sclerosis. I had two sisters with multiple sclerosis. One passed away about 3 years ago from MS. And it was a disease that, you know, we really didn't know a whole lot about 25, 30 years ago when they were first diagnosed. But it's something that's, you know, very near and dear to my heart. It's something that I'm obviously always trying to, you know, raise awareness for, having had two sisters with it. And, you know, just seeing how it's impact other families, any way I can, you know, help bring awareness, help bring resources, money. You know, I'm always trying to help. You know, another guy who grew up kind of in my area is a baseball player named Ryan Zimmerman, who played for the Nationals for a whole lot of years. And his mom was diagnosed with MS2 a number of years ago. And, you know, it's been one of my missions just trying to help bring more awareness, bring more attention. You know, like I said, just bring more resources. Because when we found out about it, it wasn't a lot of research, wasn't a lot of information to try to get better. And especially having a sister pass away from it. You know, seeing the way that affected my mom, seeing the way that affected our family, you know, I just felt like it was my duty. You know, it was my duty to kind of let my story be known and let everybody know that, you know, that you're not alone in this fight.
You know, what's really crazy though, is that, you know, one of my former, my pastor used to say something, and DeAndre, you're a great example, is that, you know, once you're affected by something, you'll become an advocate for it.
Yeah.
And so hearing that story, I didn't even know that, you know, me and you,
I didn't either
for years and
didn't even know that. And, sorry to hear that about your sister and stuff, but I think it's outstanding when players use their platform and all is as simple as some cleats, right? and that you bringing attention to these things and giving a chance for so many families that now, because like you said, the research is more research has been done, the way we can find and try and help people ease into things that are going on in their lives. I think it's outstanding. And I did not know that, but I really applaud you for being such a strong advocate and standing up for that. It's outstanding. It's more than just a pair of cleats that you wear on your feet.
No doubt. No doubt. I appreciate it.
So we got some quick hitter questions. So all these right. are quick bangers. Boom, boom, boom.
First thing that comes to mind. All right.
All right.
Who has a better golf swing, you or Rome?
He know that.
Probably Rome.
He know that.
I hate to say that too, but I'm working on it. I'm telling you, next year, it ain't going to be him.
So Peanut, you got to understand, we play in this shootout, bro, in Hershey, Pennsylvania. It's legit, bro. It's so fun, dog. Like, we go out there. We have such a good time, man. There's so many us, like, younger NFL guys, bro. We get to hang out with older guys, and we get to know each other through this. Like, this is how I got to know D'Angelo so well. And we really spend, like, 3 days, bro, and just, like, kick it. And it's great. But right now, I do got it. I'm working, too, though. I'm going to be...
As much as we kick it, Ron, we have never been golfing.
Well, because, Peanut, you don't want to golf.
We gonna golf next time.
He don't want to golf. I brought him.
Does he golf at all?
No, he's been through three holes.
Had you out there all day? I don't golf with beginner golfers, bro. I'm sorry. Better have you out there all day.
I go out there with two ball. I go out there with two boxes of balls. I don't even look for my ball.
No,
if it ain't on the green, I just drop where the next one is. I don't care.
D'Angelo, we get through like three holes, four holes. You're like, man, I'm bored. We done. I'm like, bro, we got to do the front nine. It's frustrating.
Because you my guy, I'm going to play golf with you.
Thank you. All right, next one. You ready? When you're not pursuing your career goals, do you still change tires in your spare time?
Yo.
Now, this is a skill that I think most people need to have, but I want to know. I got to hear the story from this.
So, look, that's my oldest son. That was a couple years ago. My oldest son's 20. That's his tutor's car, and she got a flat tire coming to our house right outside of the neighborhood. That's the sign right behind the car, and I'm like, well, look, Miss Gabriel, come. Take my car home. I'll just change the car. Like, I'll change the tire. I've changed probably 3 or 4 tires before in my day. And so got down on my hands and knees. People seeing me in the neighborhood, know who I am, blowing the horn, saying what's up. I want to say my wife probably took that picture just to try to be funny, because she was taking, you know, one of the probably girls to a cheer or something, leaving the house. But yeah, you know, I don't mind getting my hands dirty, man, for sure.
All right, D-Hall, fill in the blank. Right now, my life is...
Oh, amazing. Amazing, man. Like, you know, being able to be a dad. Like, I was a dude who grew up without a dad. Like, literally, guys, didn't see my dad's face until I buried him. And so never had a relationship with them. And so for me to be drafted at 20, play 14 years, leave the game, get to talk about it on TV, get to hang out with dudes that I was huge fans of, get to talk about it on TV with you know, these young guys, just feeling like I've never had a job before. Like, as a parent, that's your aspirations for your kids, right? To be as happy-go-lucky as I am. And so, like, everything's just great, man. Like, I'm trying to pour as much knowledge and just information and understanding into my kids so that they can have the same opportunities, you know what I mean, that I had. Being a dad has been so cool, you know what I mean, so dope. It's just... like, everything's just amazing, man. Like, I do some real estate stuff. You know, you talked about some of the stuff I do on the network. And just being able to always be home, always take a kid lunch to school, or, you know what I mean? It's just, it's I'm having a blast in this chapter of my life, man. And that's why I'm not coaching. Like, I don't, like, I ain't got no stress. Like, I do what I want. I ain't got nobody telling me. Like, as much as we love the NFL, I ain't really like people telling me what to do. You know what I mean? Like, 24/7 nonstop. Like, you can't feel like you're walking on eggshells. And especially in today's society, right, with social media, just everything so accessible, instant. Man, I'm glad I wasn't playing during this era. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? But I'm just enjoying really relaxing, man, being a dad and just chilling.
Well, D-Man, I appreciate it, man. We couldn't end it on a better situation, a better story, and a more relaxing feeling after that, man.
I'm going to
kick my feet up myself. Let's enjoy a little bit of this retirement slash second chapter, baby. Our second acts are here. Yeah, baby, straight up kicked up, man. Thank you so much for coming on, man, and sharing.
Appreciate you, D-Ho.
No doubt, man. I appreciate y'all having me, man. It's an honor.
Purely, seriously thankful. And I want to sit up here and thank all those listeners for tuning in. Ask you to spread the word and to give us a rating, a review, and a follow on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you. Shout out to us and the NFL Players Second Acts Podcast.
Appreciate it. Thanks, D-Hall.
No doubt.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.